Brahma Vimohana Lila. Okay. So this is an important pastime. The pastime is Brahma Vimohana. So Mohan means? Mohan. Mohan. What does Mohan mean? Well, it technically means bewildered. Mohan means to bewilder. And Vimohana means? Highly, yeah. Or complete. Vimohana means totally bewildered. Completely bewildered. So Brahma Vimohana Lila. This is the Lila where Lord Brahma becomes completely bewildered by Lord Krishna. So it's a very important pastime which will take place. So this is chapter 13. And then we'll hear in the next chapter. The next chapter is the prayers of Lord Brahma, which is coming up also. So these are very important chapters. Now this particular chapter on this is the last chapter that Prabhupada comments upon while Prabhupada is still on the planet, 1977. So this is the last chapter. After this, chapter 14, the purports are not Prabhupada's purports anymore. These are the purports of Sridhananda Maharaj, and Prabhupada's followers. It's not written, so I don't know if he finished the chapter, I'm not sure. But he was translating 2 days before he left, so I don't know if there's a particular verse or...
I heard that there's a particular verse.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure which particular verse it is. I mean, I thought they would have written, you know, final verse or something, but it's not written like that. So, Srila Prabhupada is writing his final verses, his final purports, his Prabhupada's final realizations. You see on the video, you can see Prabhupada is whispering into the microphone. Jai Dvaita Swami is holding the microphone 2 days before he left. And then Prabhupada is just whispering the final instructions, the final purport. So it's a very important pastime, actually. And the next chapter, the 14th chapter, that is the prayers of Lord Brahma. That's where many of the famous prayers come from. There's many important prayers in that. It's a very significant portion of the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. Then chapter 15, chapter 16, we hear a bit Kaliya, like that. And then your next exam will be at the end of the 16th chapter, which should be in another 4 weeks or so. Five weeks, maybe 6 weeks. Okay, so we'll hear about the Brahma Vimohana Lila. Prabhupada asked Sridhananda Maharaj to do it. He asked. Prabhupada said he can finish. Because everyone knew that Prabhupada could not finish, so then Prabhupada said to Sridhananda, he said, you finish the Bhagavatam. As for the gap, it was after Prabhupada left. So 78, 79 left. So it wasn't long after Prabhupada left that they finished it. Okay. So Brahma Vimohana. Then tonight we'll go verses 1 to 20. First 20 verses. I still have to tell you a little bit about the demons from the previous chapters. Do you want to hear about that now?
Yes.
What they represent? Okay. Very, very enthusiastic students. Good students. I like this class. And nice students. Nice devotees. I should come here more regularly. And you should give credit to Atulya, you know, because she does austerity every week. She lets me come here. You know. It's not easy for her, actually. I mean, she's here this week, but it's actually quite austere for her to let me go 2 nights every week. So you should offer her your blessings and your respects, actually, because she does austerity to make this course keep going. Not easy for her. It's not easy for me because I have
set. Out on hearing all the nectar.
Yeah. Not that. It's not easy for me. What's that? Yeah. Yeah, you get a lot of blessings from the devotees. Everything they get, you get. Even if you're not in the class. And it's difficult for me because then I have separation from my wife at two. That's not easy. Okay, so Chaitanya Shikshamrita by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So Bakasura represents cunning duplicity, deceptive behavior, and hypocrisy, the outward manifestations of a false lifestyle of cheating activities. So it's duplicity, cheating activities, deceptive behavior, hypocrisy. This is Bakasura. He's a very powerful demon. So you need to, in devotional service, we need to overcome this. This external, sometimes we're duplicit, we're hypocritical. Sometimes we are putting on something that we are not. So if you want to advance, you have to give up those that are not. And I don't know why. Vatsasura. What's Vatsasura? Vatsasura, do I give you? I gave you Vatsasura, okay. So Agasura. Agasura was last night. Agasura represents the mentality of cruelty to others and violence and causing trouble to others out of envy. This attitude is an offense against the chanting of the holy names. It may also manifest in the form of an unwillingness to help other living beings by giving them Krishna consciousness. So being cruel to others, causing troubles to others, and unwillingness to help others become Krishna conscious. So that is Agasura. So you have Agasura, you have Bakasura. Vatsasura you already had. So now, tonight we begin Brahma Vimohana Lila. So Brahma Vimohana Lila, this pastime, represents the bewilderment of Lord Brahma and his subsequent purification frees us from the cultivation of fruitive activities, karma, and speculative knowledge, jnana. It also rectifies the offense of disrespecting the Lord's Madhurya feature in favor of his Aishwarya feature. So Brahma Vimohana Lila means giving up karma, giving up jnana, giving up attachment to mundane knowledge or impersonal knowledge and to fruitive activity. So we have to give these things up, obviously. Karma, jnana, and disrespecting Krishna's Madhurya feature in favor of his Aishwarya feature. So you'd be attached to the Aishwarya feature. But this pastime represents, if you want to go to Vrindavan, you have to become attached to the Madhurya aspect and give up the attachment to the awe and reverence of Krishna. So this pastime represents going beyond that. Now, it's interesting because after the Brahma Vimohana Lila, how old is Krishna here? 5 years old, right? So that is the end of the Kaumara age. When he finishes this pastime, because it takes 1 year, then he is 6 years old, and at that time he's in Poganda, which is the next age. When he's that's when he's like 5 to 10, and it leads into the Kaishora age. You'll see in the Poganda age, his feelings of Madhurya. You see, there's no Madhurya Rasa up until now. We've been studying the first 12 chapters. There's no Madhurya Rasa. There's no gopis. Nothing to do with Radha. Prabhupada mentions her in one purport, but there's nothing there. You'll see after this, that's when this will begin to manifest, this pastime. So after Brahma Vimohana Lila, he goes into Poganda. And even his Kaishora pastimes begin to subtly manifest at this time. So it's a significant place in the Bhagavatam.
hearing in the class that that age, the Pauganda age, is also called as Purvara.
Is what?
Purvara.
Purvarag.
That is when all those Madhurya feelings start developing in Krishna, and his boyish looks start going, and he starts developing those features which become very attractive to the gopis. That all happens during this age, like you mentioned. So the Madhurya feelings become stronger and stronger.
What does Purvarag mean? Purvarag means you feel like you'll see your lover for the first time. Or when you see your lover for the first time. That's Purva. Purva means new, fresh. So Purvarag. So Krishna, when he sees the gopis, it is eternally like Purvarag. When Radha and Krishna meet, many times they feel like this is the first time. They get that emotion. They see Krishna, they're attracted to him for the first time. So Purvarag means the first time that Krishna is manifesting his love with the gopis. So this is taking place in his Madhurya Ras, which will take place soon. So when they say Purvarag, it means the first time he sees the gopis like that. So this will begin to manifest. There's a few pastimes. Chapter 21, 22, Venu Gita. So these pastimes will come up soon. Because it's described that when someone is auspicious, I've mentioned this before, the person ages at 1.5 times his age. So when he was 10, according to how many years he'd been on earth, his body and his mind was like a 15-year-old. So when you're 15, you're very interested in girls, and girls are very interested in boys, but when you're 10, you're not. Right? So even though the age was 10, but like his physique and his mentality was older. So that's why it manifests. Because it says that he never goes past 15 or 16. But he looks 15 or 16 when he's 10 or 11. Because he leaves Vrindavan when he's between 10 and 11 at that time. So, any other points? Okay. So we'll begin the pastime. Brahma Vimohana Lila. Brahma Vimohana Lila Ki Jai. Srila Shukadev Goswami said, O best of devotees, most fortunate Parikshit, you have inquired very nicely, for although constantly hearing the pastimes of the Lord, you are perceiving his activities to be newer and newer. So Shukadev Prabhu.
Unless one is very advanced in Krishna consciousness, one cannot stick to hearing the pastimes of the Lord constantly. Nityam Navana Navaya Manam. Even though advanced devotees hear continually about the Lord, continually about the Lord for years, they still feel that these topics are coming to them as newer and fresher.
So what points are there in the beginning? Yeah. Always new. Yeah. So this is the nature of Vasudev Katar Ruchi. We have to develop a taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna. Now what is the nature of the taste? The nature of the taste is that you constantly want to hear and chant. Kirtaniyaha sadahari. You want to hear and chant more and more. This is how you can test if you're advancing in Krishna consciousness. How do we know we're advancing practically? Because we want to hear and chant about Krishna more and more. If that desire is not coming, that means you're not advancing in Krishna consciousness. Now, Jiva Goswami says that if you've been practicing Krishna consciousness for many years, as many people in this room have been, and if your attachment to Krishna is not sufficiently strong enough, then he says you need to increase your hearing and your chanting. You need to hear more about Krishna, you need to chant more about Krishna. And by hearing more about Krishna, by chanting more about Krishna, then your attachment will increase. So that is the system. So Jiva Goswami says, increase your Vasudeva Kata Ruchi. This is the practical way to know how much we're advancing in Krishna. You can do lots of service, but the result of the service will be that you like to hear and chant about Krishna. Just like I was at the back of our kitchen before it turned into a hole, just at the car park here, a couple of months ago. So I was there, and one devotee was talking about, you know, maybe this class or some class or something like that. And then one devotee walked out of the kitchen. He said, you don't need to go to class. You just serve. Service is the ultimate conclusion of going to all the classes, which is true. And I didn't say anything. You know, he just said that because he's quite a nice devotee and he's quite advanced devotee. But then I thought about it later. But then if you're doing all the service, then the opposite is also true. You do all the service, then you want to hear about Krishna. You want to go to classes. It's natural. So both must be there. The conclusion of going to all the classes and doing all the hearing is that you want to do service. And then the conclusion of doing all the service is that you want to hear about Krishna. It's not that you have one or the other. No, you just do service all day and you don't hear anything. Because an advanced devotee wants to hear about Krishna. He wants to chant. He wants to be in kirtan. And then when you do all those things, then when you come out of the kirtan or you come out of the class, what do you want to do? Now I want to do some service. You come out of class and the devotee comes up and says, Prabhu, can you do something? Oh, no, I'm busy, I can't. No, you want to serve. That's natural, spontaneous. So that is the result. So this is how we know we're advancing. You know you're advancing when you want to hear about Krishna more and more, constantly. It says the advanced devotees just want to absorb themselves in hearing about Krishna. So, any points?
That verse Krishna says that for one who is devotedly serving me, I give them the intelligence by which they can come to me. And I believe in that purport, Prabhupada writes that initially how we engage people in doing some services, because by doing service, the affinity for hearing increases. So initially, if we read the Bhagavad Gita or any books, they feel overwhelmed. You don't understand what is Prabhupada writing. But the more and more we do services, the more and more the affinity
to the world increases. Yeah, I mean, Srimvatam Swakata, Krishna, Nastapraj, those verses, that's what they're about. Yeah, the more you advance, the more you want to hear about Krishna. That's the whole process of bhakti. Paramahamsas, devotees who have accepted the essence of life, are attached to Krishna in the core of their hearts. And he is the aim of their lives. It is their nature to talk only of Krishna at every moment, as if such topics were newer and newer. They are attached to such topics, just as materialists are attached to topics of women and sex. So Prabhupada explains in the purport, Krishna says in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, what is daytime for the materialist is nighttime for the devotee. What is nighttime for the devotee is daytime for the materialist. It's the opposite. So Rupa Goswami says, when will I become attached to Krishna? Just like a young boy wants to always think and speak about and hear about young girls. And young girls, they always want to think about and speak about and hear about young boys. That's a spontaneous attraction. You know, you don't train the kids. You don't say, you know, oh, now you should start speaking about boys, or now you should start thinking about girls. It just happens. It's spontaneous. It comes straight out of our false ego. It's already in there. So Rupa Goswami says, why do I not have attachment to Krishna like that? I just want to hear about Krishna and speak about Krishna and remember about Krishna. So that is the goal. So what is opposite? What the materialists do? Ours is the opposite. We're aiming for exactly the opposite thing. And what we do, they're aiming for exactly the opposite thing. They just want to absorb themselves in material subjects, and we want to absorb ourselves in spiritual subjects. And how do you know you're advancing? Because you lose your taste for the material subjects. O King, kindly hear me with great attention. Although the activities of the Supreme Lord are very confidential, no ordinary man being able to understand them, I shall speak about them to you. For spiritual masters explain to a submissive disciple even subject matters that are very confidential and difficult to understand. So the guru speaks to you when he sees you are eager to hear. So these are confidential subject matters, and the guru will explain these confidential subject matters to you. And what is your qualification? You become eager to hear. When the guru sees you have eagerness to hear about, Rupa Goswami calls it lopa. Lopa means greed. When you have intense desire to hear about Krishna, then the guru speaks about Krishna in confidential ways. You have to have qualification, because now we're hearing about higher things. Then, after saving the boys and calves from the mouth of Agasura, who was death personified, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, brought them all to the bank of the river and spoke the following words. My dear friends, just see how this riverbank is extremely beautiful because of its pleasing atmosphere. And just see how the blooming lotuses are attracting bees and birds by their aroma. The humming and chirping of the bees and birds is echoing throughout the beautiful trees in the forest. Also, here the sands are clean and soft. Therefore, this must be considered the best place for our sporting and pastimes. Rohini, you want to read?
The description of Vrindavan forest as given herewith was spoken by Krishna 5,000 years ago, and the same condition prevailed during the time of the Vaishnava Acharyas 300 or 400 years ago. Vijata Pukula Hamsa Sarasara Sarasat Gankirne Mayurkula. Vrindavan forest is always filled with the chirping and cooing of birds like the cuckoos, ducks, and cranes, and it is also full of peacocks. The same sounds and atmosphere still prevails in the area where our Krishna Balaram temple is situated. Everyone who visits this temple is pleased to hear the chirping of the birds as described here.
So what are the points there? So Vrindavan is God's playground. This is where Krishna enjoys himself. So we're hearing about the details of what it's like. Vrindavan, that area, which we call Vrindavan, which is south of Delhi, even up until now, it is famous for wildlife. There are unique birds. If you catch the boat between Vrindavan and Mathura, you float down, you see many types of birds next to the Jamuna. Now it's becoming less and less because of the pollution and the problems. But even I went down there 10, 15 years ago, many, many beautiful coloured birds and exotic kind of birds. So it's known for that. And Prabhupada's saying even at the time of the Acharyas, which is 300 or 400 years ago, it was all forest. All the way from Vrindavan to Radhakund, you know, from what we call Vrindavan, where the Krishna Bhava, that was all forest. Even 100 years ago, that was all forest. But now it's all cleared and so it's losing its character. But we're hearing this the description of what it was like in the spiritual world, and what it was like when Krishna was here. And it was the most exotic and beautiful place where Krishna would enjoy his pastimes. So Krishna is taking the boys there on the bank of the river Jamuna, and they're observing all of these beautiful natural opulences. And for a devotee, Vrindavan is non-different from Krishna. So to become attached to Vrindavan means you will become attached to Krishna. So we have to become attached to both Vrindavan and Krishna. Become attached to Vrindavan, then you want to go and live there, and you'll be with Krishna. Become attached to Krishna, then you want to go to where he lives, which is Vrindavan. So we have to absorb ourselves in these descriptions. And even when we're chanting, when you become advanced in your chanting, you meditate on these descriptions. You meditate that you're in Vrindavan while you're chanting, and you meditate what it's like there, the spiritual world. Any points? Okay. I think we should take our lunch here, since we are already hungry because the time is very late. Here the calves may drink water and go slowly here and there and eat the grass. Accepting Lord Krishna's proposal, the cowherd boys allowed the calves to drink water from the river and then tied them to trees where there was green, tender grass. Then the boys opened their baskets of food and began eating with Krishna in great transcendental pleasure. Like the whirl of a lotus flower surrounded by its petals and leaves, Krishna sat in the center, encircled by lines of his friends, who all looked very beautiful. Every one of them was trying to look forward toward Krishna, thinking that Krishna might look toward him. In this way, they all enjoyed their lunch in the forest. So, Mitesh, you like to read? Read loudly, people can't hear you.
To a pure devotee, Krishna is always visible, as stated in Brahma Samhita, and as indicated by Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvata Pani Padam, Tat Sarvata Chisri Mukham. If by accumulating pious activities, Rita Punya Punja, one is raised to the platform of pure devotional service, Krishna is always visible in the core of one's heart. One who has attained such a perfection is all beautiful and transcendental bliss. The present Krishna conscious movement is an attempt to keep Krishna in the center, for if this is done, all activities will automatically become beautiful and blissful.
So what are the points there? So how does a devotee become attractive to Krishna? Why is Krishna attractive to us? Why are we attracted to Krishna? What is it about Krishna that makes us attracted to him? Why are you attracted to Krishna? You're attracted to his guna?
He's all attractive.
Yeah, he's all attractive. But what is it that about him that's attractive? Because he's what?
Pure.
He's pure, yeah. But why are you attracted to him? Why are you attracted to Krishna? You like his activities? Yeah, so what else? Why are you attracted to him?
His pastimes.
You like his pastimes? Yeah, so, okay. Why are you attracted to him?
He's beautiful.
He's beautiful?
Yeah.
No, that's philosophical. Why are you attracted to him? I'm asking you. You're his part and part. Why are you attracted to him? What is it about Krishna that you like? He's Bhaktavatsala. Yeah. He's Bhaktavatsala. That quality. That's a quality. So why else are you attracted to him?
He attracts us.
Hmm? He's intelligent. You're attracted to intelligent people? Yeah, so that's good. Why else?
But he attracts us too.
He's the best friend and best master.
He's the best friend. You feel that he's a friend. You feel that he's a master. Okay, so there's many qualities about Krishna. It's called Nama, Rupa, Guna, Lila, right? His name is attractive, Krishna. We're attracted, we say his name all the time, Krishna, 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 right? His Rupa is attractive. We're attracted to his form, right? We described this last week, I think. Then his Guna, 64 qualities are mentioned by Rupa Goswami. So we're attracted to many of these qualities. His lila, we're attracted to his pastimes. His dham, his abode. His associates, we're attracted to. Right? So we're attracted to all these things. Now, why is Krishna attracted to us? What is it that he's attracted to?
Devotion.
Devotion, yeah. Prabhupada specifically says in the Nectar of Instruction, Krishna is attracted to your service attitude, the way that you serve him. That's how Krishna becomes attracted to you. Anyone can do service, but what is your attitude while you're doing the service? What are your feelings while you're doing the service? How much attention do you care? And what makes two devotees do the same service, but what makes Krishna more attracted to the particular devotees? It's the attention to detail. That is what makes the service attractive to Krishna. Anyway, see, all the Mataji's are making the garlands, but who is putting the most attention to the detail into the garlands? No, because Krishna is looking for that. Right? He's looking for how much effort did you put into the service. You did the service, but how much attention was there to all the details in the service? How much attention did you make to making the service perfect for Krishna? The best you could for Krishna. Right? Everyone has different ability. Like, I can't make garlands as well as the Mataji's are making garlands. I don't have the ability that they have. Right? But if I give attention to detail, in other words, I put the best I can do into my service, then Krishna becomes attracted to that. Right? According to your ability. Everyone has different levels of ability. But so the devotee, he attracts Krishna when his service attitude is the best. Now, at this point, we see in the verse that Krishna is in the middle. And every single devotee who's sitting around feels that Krishna is facing them. So Krishna is, just like if I'm giving class here and it looks like I'm facing one devotee there and facing one devotee there simultaneously. So Krishna's in the middle and every devotee thinks Krishna is looking straight at me. He's sitting and I'm sitting there and we're directly opposite each other and all the other devotees are sitting at different angles. But then every devotee in the circle feels the same way. And they can't perceive that Krishna is doing the same thing with everyone. So this is called Krishna's Sarva Sankalpata Shakti. Sankalpa means? Yeah, it's like a determination. Sankalpa means like you take a vow. Sankalpa means like a determination. Sarva Sankalpa means complete or all. Sankalpata Shakti. So Krishna's desire that he can be with everyone simultaneously. Now why does he want to be with everyone simultaneously? Because they're all pure devotees. It's like Krishna being with Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Gaura-Kishore Babaji Maharaj and Bhaktivinoda Thakur all at the same time. So who would Krishna look at? He'd look at all four of them perfectly. Because each one of them is perfect in their devotional service. They have a perfect service attitude. So therefore Krishna is attracted to everyone, so he shows himself to everyone simultaneously. So that is his shakti. He has that ability. Like he's like in the center of the lotus flower and then all the petals are around and he's looking at everyone simultaneously. Any points? Okay. Among the cowherd boys, some place their lunch on flowers, some on leaves, fruits, or bunches of leaves. Some actually in their baskets, some on the bark of trees, and some on rocks. This is what the children imagined to be their plates as they ate their lunch. All of the cowherd boys enjoyed their lunch with Krishna, showing one another the different tastes of different varieties of preparations they had brought from home. Tasting one another's preparations, they began to laugh and make one another laugh.
Sometimes one friend would say, Krishna, see how my food is delishable. And Krishna would take some and laugh. Similarly, Balram, Sudama and other friends would taste one another's food and laugh. In this way, the friends very jubilantly began to eat their respective preparations brought from home.
What are the points there? Very intimate, yeah. Close friends, yeah. So the first verse describes what they were using for plates. So what were they using for plates?
All natural things.
Like what?
Leaves.
They just take the leaf off the tree. And they put it on, and then they put their prasad on the leaf. Or they even put on this nice stones, so they put it on the stone. Or bark, they take the bark off the tree, they put it on the bark. So in other words, what it's natural living. When you live and eat like this, you feel very healthy. Yeah, very happy, like that. You know, we eat off plastic plates with plastic spoons, styrofoam cups. It's not quite the same. Have you ever eaten off the leaf plate? You go to India, eat off the leaf, Mayapur, and like that, eat off the leaf plate. Have you ever eaten off the lotus leaf plate? Off the lotus leaf? That's very, we'll see. It says when you eat off the lotus leaf, it's equal to eating off silver. And what's gold? One of the plates. Is it banana leaf? But banana leaf is easy to get. There's one leaf which is same as gold. I can't remember which leaf it is, but like that. So this is very natural. It's nice to eat like this. You feel much better doing like this. Now, it describes that the cowherd boys, in English we have the saying, variety is the mother of enjoyment. So it says in all the tiffins and all the they bring out their lunches in their little, tied up in their little cloth, and they open it up, and there's so many varieties, and they all start changing with each other, exchanging. Here, try this one. And then you try that one, and everyone's swapping everywhere. Right? And Krishna is giving, and Balaram is giving, and Madhumangala is giving, and Sudama is giving, and Sridharma is giving, and Subala is giving, Arjuna is giving, Stoka Krishna, everyone is just everywhere. So much variety. The spiritual world is about variety. Right? You see, like on Janmashtami, you know, we offer the Raj Bhog to Radha Balabha every year. Some years there's like 130 preparations. So it is like that. Every day when Krishna takes prasad, so many preparations, so much variety, everyone's swapping and doing like that. Right? And then it says, the cowherd boys are very, this is in the commentary by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he said the cowherd boys are very mischievous. So they all start playing jokes on each other. So when one cowherd boy is looking over there, the other cowherd boy gets the samosa and he takes out all the peas and the potatoes and he puts flowers in there. And he says, hey, sucker, try this one. Right? And he gets it, he puts it in his mouth, he goes, like that, and then he comes over and he tries to hit him. And that cowboy jumps up and he runs off and everyone's running and playing and like that. Goloka Vrindavan picnics key. This is what it's like in the spiritual world. Hands up if you want to go back to the spiritual world. Or you can stay here in Albert Park, up to you. What do you like better? You like St. Kilda West. Like that. But if you want to go to the spiritual world, that's what it's like. It's just, everyone is just having fun. So much, you know, everyone's swapping and they're playing jokes on each other and all sorts of things. So much pleasure. That's Krishna's life. Right? There's no tax. Everything is free. And you never have to work. That's the spiritual world.
You don't have to worry about getting cholesterol or getting fat, even though you eat so much.
Don't have to worry about getting fat. You pick you and your teacher, or?
We women always have that worry.
Oh, now it's the women have the problem. Just watch your marks on your next exam. So? No? In the spiritual world, you don't have to worry about anything. No one works. Imagine that. Can you imagine not having to work ever again? Right? Imagine you don't have to go to work ever again. That's the spiritual world. No work. Right? You don't have to have any money. Everything's free. Right? Imagine that. Everything's free. Just imagine you just walk into Coles. Just take whatever you want. That's what the spiritual world's like. You don't pay for anything. It's all free. Krishna says, have whatever you want. Right? That's the spiritual world. Because everyone takes everything and they offer it to Krishna. So everything is free. Right? There's no work. Everything is free. Right? No distress whatsoever. That's the spiritual world. Or you can stay here in Ormond. Right? Up to you. Enjoy your life. Everyone is busy, but there's no stress. That's the point. Down here, everything's stress all the time. How am I going to pay my electricity bill? How am I going to pay my son's school fees? How am I? It just never stops. Out there, there's no anxiety. Hare Krishna. Krishna is Jagya Book. That is, he eats only offerings of Jagya. But to exhibit his childhood pastimes, he now sat with his flute tucked between his waist and his tight cloth on his right side, and his horn bugle and cow-driving stick on his left, holding in his hand a very nice preparation of yogurt and rice, with pieces of suitable fruit between his fingers. He sat like the whirl of a lotus flower, looking forward toward all his friends, personally joking with them and creating jubilant laughter among them as he ate. At that time, the denizens of heaven were watching, struck with wonder at how the personality of Godhead, who eats only in Jagya, was now eating with his friends in the forest. So the demigods are looking down, and they become bewildered. Why do they become bewildered? Because Krishna's pastimes are human-like. Because this is God. So you go into the altar, like now. Right now, they're offering the 840 offering. Right now. So you go in there now, walk in there, and probably, you know, Belgaur Prabhu, one of the Pujaris in there, he's offering. So you walk in there now, go and open the door, walk in, and pick up, you know, one of the puris and put it in your mouth. Right? And Belgaur will go crazy. Oh, what are you doing? Like that. But in the spiritual world, in this pastime, everyone's just taking prasad off their plate, tasting it, and say, hey, Krishna, try this. Put it straight into his mouth. Would you ever do that to your deity at home? And you just, oh, that's nice. Hey, try this. Like that. That's what's taking place in the spiritual world. Right? And Krishna, he doing the same thing. He bites it and says, oh, try, hey, sucker, try this one. Puts it in their mouth. How is this possible? So the demigods are watching this. They're bewildered. What's taking place? They're thinking, what's taking place? What are the cowboy boys doing? So they're completely bewildered by the human-like mood in Krishna's. But this is Vrindavan. And this pastime, remember what Bhaktivinoda Thakur said? What does this pastime represent? Look at your notes. I said it half an hour ago. What does this pastime represent? Giving up the mood of Aishwarya, right, over the mood of Madhurya. And you have to give up the Aishwarya. That's what this pastime represents. Because the mood of the demigods, they can't give up the Aishwarya. Giving up the jnana, giving up the karma. So, it describes Krishna is holding his, what's in his hand? Yogurt and rice. So he's mixing it together. Right? He's got some rice and yogurt. Now it's interesting because it's in his left hand. And as devotees, Brinda, do you eat with your left hand? No. What do you eat with? Right hand. Does she do it? Yeah, see? And what happens if you eat with your left hand? You keep going like this, like. Someone might say something to you? What about that? Okay. Mother, she would get in trouble. But Krishna is out in the forest with his friends. It's in his left hand. Right? We don't even touch prasad with the left hand. Prabhupada would not touch with the left hand prasad. He'd only touch with the right hand. Right? So when Prabhupada would eat a banana, he would peel it with his teeth. He wouldn't even peel it like that with his left hand. He'd peel it with his teeth. Only touch with the right hand prasad. But Krishna has it in the left hand, which is quite uncultured. Right? So Krishna is sitting, and he's got the rice and yogurt, and he's mixing it. And then it says, in between his fingers, on his left hand, like stuck in between the finger, he has a slice of lemon and amla pickle. You know that in India you have amla? You all know, because you're all from India. So it's amla pickle and lemon, and he's mixing it. He's taking some pickle, like that, acha, and he's taking some, and then he's eating it. So he's just eating like this. And the demigods are looking down and they're thinking, he's eating with the left hand. So they're getting confused. quite confused like that. So the whole thing is beginning to bewilder them. That's what's taking place. So. Okay. So in the purport, Prabhupada says that Krishna joked. A bumblebee came near Krishna's face, because Krishna's face is like a lotus flower and his breath smells like camphor. So a bee came down. Krishna always has bees buzzing around his face because his face is sweet like honey, like a lotus flower. And then he said to one of the bees, it says here, "Why have you come to disturb my Brahmin friend Madhu Mangala? You want to kill a Brahmana? That is not good." So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says the bee is around his face, and Krishna says, why are you hanging around my face? He's talking to the bee. He said, go to Madhu Mangala's face. Go over there. He said, that is very sweet. You'll get lots of nectar there. He said, go to that face. And then go and bite him. Like that. So he says that. And then the bee comes over to Madhu Mangala, who's going around. And Madhu Mangala starts to speak to the bee. He says, hey, do you want to kill me? I'm a Brahmana. You should go back to his face. Like that. Like, having all this joking going in between. Or Maharaj Pariksit, while the cowherd boys who knew nothing within the core of their hearts but Krishna were thus engaged in eating their lunch in the forest, the calves went very far away, deep into the forest, being allured by green grass. When Krishna saw that his friends, the cowherd boys, were frightened, he, the fierce controller even of fear itself, said, just to mitigate their fear, my dear friends, do not stop eating. I shall bring your calves back to this spot by personally going after them myself. Okay, so we'll read this purport. So remember this. This is one of Prabhupada's last purports. So this is almost the last thing that Prabhupada ever says to us before he leaves this world. Okay, so Jagannath Ram, you read that.
In the presence of Krishna's friendship, a devotee cannot have any fear. Krishna is the supreme controller, the controller of even death, which is supposed to be the ultimate fear in this material world. This fear arises because of lack of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, there cannot be any fear. For one who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, this material world of fear becomes hardly dangerous at all. The material ocean of fear becomes very easy to cross by the mercy of the Supreme Controller. This material world, in which there is fear and danger at every step, is not meant for those who have taken shelter by Krishna's lotus feet. Such persons are delivered from this fearful world. Everyone therefore should take shelter of the Supreme Person,
with the source of fearlessness, and thus be secure. Yeah. So Prabhupada is about to leave this world. This is literally days before Prabhupada leaves, right? And then Prabhupada says, in the presence of Krishna's friendship, a devotee cannot have any fear. Krishna is the supreme controller, the controller of even death, which is supposed to be the ultimate fear in this world. So Prabhupada says, a devotee is not even scared of death, which is supposed to be. So Prabhupada is saying, because he's about to die, the material body is about to separate from his soul. Right? And Prabhupada said, this is supposed to be the most fearful thing. But for Prabhupada, there was no fear. Prabhupada's name was Abhay, Charanaravinda, one who did not have fear. So Prabhupada says that Krishna saw all the cowherd boys became full of anxiety because they're eating lunch, they're having fun, and then they look around and they saw the calves are gone. So they get up and they said, where are the calves? Right? And Krishna says, hey, sit down. I will take care. Stay here, have lunch, I'll go and find the calves. So Prabhupada says, when Krishna is there cannot be fear for the devotee, because Krishna will always go and protect the devotee. But as we said last night, you have to have faith that Krishna will protect you. Most of us do not have the faith that Krishna will protect us. That's why we become anxious in this world. We all become anxious because we think Krishna will not look after us. But if we had faith, we'd understand Krishna is looking after us all the time, completely. So wherever there is Krishna, there is no fear. Even death is not fearful for a devotee. This is very advanced. You know how advanced you are by how you look at death. If you're scared of death, you're not so advanced. Right? If you have no fear, that means you're very advanced. So you have to see. Because Prabhupada had no fear of death, which is amazing, actually. Let me go and search for the calves, Krishna said. Don't disturb your enjoyment. Then carrying his yogurt and rice in his hand, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, immediately went out to search for the calves and his friends. To please his friends, he began searching in all the mountains, mountain caves, bushes, and narrow passages. So the devotee is full of love for Krishna, and Krishna is full of love for his devotee. So out of love, out of prema, Krishna goes to look for the calves. No? Because he doesn't want to disturb his devotee. He just wants everyone to eat peacefully. So it's interesting because normally Krishna gets his energies to do things for him. If Krishna wants to do something, his energy does it. But in this case, he personally gets up and goes walking. He could have just got his energies. He could have just sat there with all the boys and just his energies brings all the calves back. You know, he makes some arrangement or... Or he could have just made the calves not go away by his energy. But he wants to serve his devotees. And we should be like that also. We should want to serve Krishna's devotees. Krishna says, if you say you are my devotee, you are not my devotee. But you say you are a devotee of my devotee, then you are my devotee. So this is how we measure, when you want to serve his devotees. Why should we want to serve Krishna's devotees? Because Krishna wants to serve his devotees. So if it's good enough for Krishna, why is it not good enough for us? Why don't we do it? Why don't we serve the devotees? We don't always serve the devotees. Sometimes we pull back. Or sometimes we see there's some service or devotee needs us, but we don't do anything. But Krishna doesn't do that. He goes and serves. So why don't we do it? So how will you get back to the spiritual world if you don't want to serve Krishna's devotees? You have to serve. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, we should offer 5 menial services every day to Krishna's devotees. What are some examples of menial services you can do?
Washing dishes.
Washing dishes? Okay. Good. Anything else? Brinda, what is so important over on that side of the room? Go and sit down. There's only a few minutes left. Go and color your book or something. So, what are services we can do for the devotees? You know? When I was living in the Brahmachari ashram, then sometimes I would try to do 5 menial services for the devotees. Brinda, sit down. Sometimes I try and do 5 menial services every day for the devotees. So in between Mangalati and by the time the Bhagavatam class finished, I try and do 5 menial services. Right? So it means when the devotees are offering their obeisances, you can go and get the mats for them. So then when they sit up, like that. And then you can take the lamp around for all the devotees. And then you can offer the charanamrita to the devotees. So, you know, there's so many opportunities to offer service to the devotees. So we should take the opportunity to serve Krishna's devotees. This is how you become humble. Otherwise, you don't develop humility. Now you have to do practical service, menial service. Okay. O Maharaj Pariksha, Brahma, who resides in the higher planetary system in the sky, had observed the activities of the most powerful Krishna in killing and delivering Agasura, and he was astonished. Now that same Brahma wanted to show some of his own power and see the power of Krishna, who was engaged in his childhood pastimes. playing as if with ordinary cowherd boys. Therefore, in Krishna's absence, Brahma took all the boys and calves to another place. Thus he became entangled, for in the very near future he would see how powerful Krishna was. Lord Brahma becomes overcome by Yoga Maya. It's important to understand this point. This is not Maha Maya. Lord Brahma is not in what we call Maya. This is Yoga Maya. Krishna wants to bewilder Brahma. Brahma is a great devotee. But Krishna, part of his Braj Leela, or part of his Leela when he comes to this world, he wants to establish he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ishvara Parama Krishna. He is Supreme, Parameshwara. So in order to show he is Supreme, he has to show that others are subordinate to him. So in this 10th canto, he shows that Brahma is subordinate to him. He shows that Shiva is subordinate to him. And he even shows that Vishnu is subordinate to him. You'll see that these pastimes all through this canto. So this is one reason why he does this pastime. So when Brahma comes down, Prabhupada explains to us, when Brahma comes down, he steals the cowherd boys. These are not the original cowherd boys. And Prabhupada explains, just like when Sita Devi was taken by Ravana, it was not the original Sita, it was a Maya Sita. Yeah, Chaya Sita means a shadow. It means a false Sita. So the cowherd boys that Brahma takes, they're not the eternal associates. He could not steal Krishna's eternal associates. Krishna knows he's coming even before he comes. And when he comes down, Krishna takes the original boys and he puts them to sleep by his energy, and he hides them. And then the false boys, Brahma comes, he says, oh, there's the boy. He takes the false boys, he puts them to sleep and hides them in a cave. So Krishna has his boys asleep in one place, Brahma has the false ones asleep in another place, and then Brahma comes back and then there's another set, which are Krishna. So why is this pastime called Brahma Vimohana Leela? Because even we're confused. So imagine what's happening in his mind. He thinks he's got the boys over there, the boys are there, Krishna's got another set over there. So it's just, he's just like, he's like, he's totally confused. It's very confusing. He's just bewildered. He's like, whoa, what's taking place? This is all Yoga Maya. This is Krishna's energy bewildering Brahma to show us. Brahma would not normally get bewildered. Brahma would not even do this normally. I mean, who goes into Vrindavan and takes Krishna's friends? No one does that. No. So Brahma only does it because Krishna's covered him, because Krishna wants to show that he is supreme. Okay.
So why he had to expand them?
Because he was...
Because if the original boys were there.
No, they were hidden somewhere. Krishna took them and he hid them. And then he expanded himself into another set. So there's three sets. There's Maya, there's Yoga Maya, and then there's Krishna.
In this it's mentioned that Balram wasn't there because it was his birthday, he had stayed back. But a few verses ago it says Balram was exchanging with Sri Rama and all those things.
Does it say in the Sanskrit or just in the English?
In the purport.
In the purport.
Yeah, verse 10.
10. So there's nothing about Balaram in the purport.
Yeah, you said that before.
Sudama and the other friends would taste ones.
Similarly, Balaram, Sudama and other friends would taste.
Yeah. See, this is a few days before Prabhupada left. Prabhupada might have just said it. It's purport, it's not in the Sanskrit. Prabhupada might have said it. Because Prabhupada, a few days before he died, he might have just said it like that, but it doesn't matter.
Generally.
So it's it.
Yeah, because Prabhupada said it. Yeah, Balaram's not there, but.
That, you know, because why you said it, because Balaram also didn't know about avoiding thousands of poisons.
Yeah, Balaram is not there. Prabhupada, it's there, but Prabhupada might have just said it, that's all. Even when Prabhupada was, like, you know, 1975, when Hari Sori was with him, he wrote purports, I think Canto 7, he wrote some purports, dictation, and then he gave them to Hari Sori, and then they, and Hari Sori was reading the transcript after it was typed, and he looked at it and he said, no, there's some mistakes here, and he took it to Prabhupada. And he said, Prabhupada, there's some mistakes here, and Prabhupada read it. He said, oh, like that, and then he had it corrected. So it wasn't like Prabhupada, you know. There's, if Prabhupada said it, doesn't mean. You know, that's one explanation. Might have been. But Balaram is not there. Thereafter, when Krishna was unable to find the calves, he returned to the bank of the river, but there he was also unable to see the cowherd boys. Thus he began to search for both the calves and the boys, as if he could not understand what had happened. So it describes, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur describes, Krishna wants to have fun with Lord Brahma. That's why he's doing all this. He wants to have fun with Brahma. So he's doing this whole pastime just to make some enjoyment. So Brahma will become bewildered. Yeah, Krishna likes seeing him like that. Yeah, Brahma's like, whoa, what's going on? So Krishna's just having something. Like, you know, sometimes you play a trick on one of your friends. You know, you take something from them, they can't find it, and they're all like, what's going on? And you're laughing. You're sitting there watching them laughing. You know, we do that to each other sometimes. So it's good fun.
When Krishna was unable to find the calves and their caretakers, the cowherd boys, anywhere in the forest, he could suddenly understand that this was the work of Lord Brahma. Thereafter, just to create pleasure for both Brahma and for the mothers of the calves and cowherd boys, Krishna, the creator of the entire cosmic manifestation, expanded himself as calves and boys. So then it is also mentioned here that Krishna wanted to give pleasure to the mothers of the cowherd boys and the calves. Because everyone in Vrindavan, they love Krishna more than their own children. So Krishna thought, let me become their children. And then they'll have the most pleasure. They want me as their children. It's a desire. If the devotee desires something, Krishna fulfills that desire. Just like I'm staying at Krishna Kattar Prabhu's house. So his daughter, Gopi, she keeps saying to me, when is Asesha, my daughter? When is she coming? When is she coming? I said, she's not coming, Gopi. She doesn't come. She's at school. Right? And then today, by some arrangement, she was in Melbourne with me. So then, because Gopi had a strong desire, Krishna fulfilled that desire. Because last week she just kept saying to me, when is she coming? When is she coming? I said, she's not coming. Right? I had no plan. And then Krishna made a plan and she came. So the mothers of the cowherd boys, they had a desire. So because they had such a strong desire, then Krishna said, okay, let's have this pastime. I'll become the children for 1 year. And then they can enjoy having me as their sons.
That's quite a sacrifice also on Krishna's part. In a whole year, he didn't have his calves and his best friends association.
Yeah. By his Vasudeva feature, Krishna simultaneously expanded himself into the exact number of missing cowherd boys and calves. With their exact bodily features, their particular types of hands, legs and other limbs, their sticks, bugles and flutes, their lunch bags, their particular types of dress and ornaments placed in various ways, their names, ages and forms, and their special activities and characteristics. By expanding himself in this way, beautiful Krishna proved the statement, Samagra Jagad, Vishnu Mayam. Lord Vishnu is all-pervading.
So he expanded himself into all of his friends, and then he gave all of the expansions the memories of his friends. So when they went home with their parents, they were saying to their parents, remember what I used to do when I was 3 years old, you know, talking about things that happened in the past?
So the parents just thought, oh, my son is here, my son is here. But they were feeling more attachment than they normally do. And they could not understand, but they were so attached to their children. Like that. But it was like everything was exactly the same. Except they became more attached. So Krishna, for 1 year, he bewildered everyone. Right? And this pastime proves, because there's one person who gets bewildered in this pastime, which shows that Krishna is supreme. Who is bewildered in this pastime? Lord Balaram. Right? So Balaram himself, who is God, right? Krishna's first expansion, for 1 year, even he does not know what's going on. So that shows how powerful Krishna is. This pastime proves that Krishna is the Supreme Personality. And everyone else is the servant, including Balaram. Okay, one more verse. Now expanding himself so as to appear as all the calves and cowherd boys, all of them as they were, and at the same time appearing as their leader, Krishna entered Brajabhumi, the land of his father, Nanda Maharaj, just as he usually did while enjoying their company. Sri Krishna turned to Bhagwan, a key. So next week we will continue the chapter. It'll take two more classes to finish this chapter, Brahma Vimohana Lila. Please keep up with your fees, keep regular with your fees for the class. And did everyone get the open book topics? If you need the open book topics, then come, you can get them for the next section. And your KMVs, you have to write your... put it up there. Everyone has the KMVs? For that? Yeah, okay. They're all there. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki.